Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Nashville SC gets its first ever comeback win on the road against Bethlehem Steel. We're going to break down the match and look at the upcoming game against Hartford on this episode of Speedway Soccer. Hey everybody, welcome into tonight's episode of Speedway Soccer. We are on the 104.5 The Zone Podcast Network. We're also on the Beautiful Game Network, brought to you by Roughneck Scarves and Golden Gold Press. I am here tonight with
Ben Wright,
Jonathan Slate,
and Andy Simmons.
And we're all together at Alley Taps having a good time. You did not hear John Sloop's name. That's because he is not here. He's out tonight working on another bit for the website this week, so we're excited for that. And we're also excited to not have to be around him here while we record. So it all works out even. Listen, guys, we just said before we came on, it's always more fun to come in and talk about a win than it is to come in and talk about a loss. I don't know if people at home would actually agree that we believe that or not, but I actually do believe that. I mean that wholeheartedly. It's always fun to see the team win, and that's what we got. A really, really good win. Our first ever comeback win. Ben, your thoughts on what it means to the club to get that out of the way.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's just nice to actually come back from being a goal down to get a win for the first time in club history. I also think it was just a good result to score four goals after, I mean, they'd had some issues scoring goals in the past four games, but especially in that Open Cup game where they created just a ton of chances and couldn't finish anything against Charleston. So I think it's kind of a good way to come back after a long break and just kind of get that monkey off their back.
To piggyback off that, that's a long time for them to really seethe on the Charleston loss like that, and I'm sure it's been on the back of their minds, and they want to kind of right the ship a little bit, and for them to not only come back, score four goals, and do it with Daniel Rios being ineffective that game. To take a shot. Credit to the defender that was man-marking him pretty much the entire game, but still for him, for their most efficient offensive weapon to be held null and still score four goals, it's a pretty impressive.
Yeah, I think it was a chance. I think the break came at a good time. We had played, I think going after the Charleston game, I think it was 8 games in 24 days. Yeah. So there had been a lot of playing time, a lot of, you know, short turnaround. So I think it was a good break for the team. We saw some guys get healthy with Lancaster getting some time. So I think it was a good chance to, you know, for some of the guys to maybe start to try to find their form. Maybe, you know, with that Lancaster goal, he can start to, you know, get in a rhythm, especially as, you know, we got Hartford this next week and then going to be coming home for a little bit, which will be good. But I think all in all, it was a good game for the team, a good game to get that win on the road. Nashville has the most road points in USL, mm-hmm. Which is, you know, pretty impressive, which coming from where we were at last year and not doing well on the road, I think that's a really, really good sign for this team. This team, not only are we scoring more, but we're getting those points away from home.
Yeah, they have the best conversion rate in all USL, which is just completely flipped from last year when it was close to the bottom, and they have the second most goals scored in the East. So I mean, and I'm that's not to say that like everything's perfect, but I think it's just significant improvement.
Well, it's surprising too, because there have been questions about this team's efficiency on offense, considering, you know, they've been taking, you know, 20, 25 shots and only getting like a goal out of it and whatnot. So I think that stat right there really tells a lot.
I think the other thing to look at with the goals scored and the number of goals and conversion is looking at who we've played so far. We've played Indy, we've played Tampa Bay, look at the teams that Nashville has played thus far through the season. We haven't played a lot of these teams. You know, we have played a Swope, and Loudon's been better than we thought, but like, you know, we're going to play Hartford, who's bottom of the league. There's a lot of those like middle to not great teams that we haven't even played yet, but we've played, I think, everybody in a playoff position.
Yeah, no, I think we've, in my opinion, acquitted ourselves well. Like, it's been a tough start to the season. I think we're getting into a more favorable stretch. That being said, we've definitely dropped some points that weren't ideal to drop. Mm-hmm. We mentioned it before, that Charlotte result looks worse and worse. But we're playing pretty well against good teams, and we're doing exceptionally well on the road. So there's positives to take away. But look, let's get back in on this before we go big picture. So we go up there, Bethlehem Steel. Let's start with probably the biggest ticket item as far as refereeing decision goes on the night. Bradley Bourgeois brings down a defender, the forward. He was the last defender out. Wasn't trying to play the ball. We can all four agree that there was no attempt.
Could have definitely been a red card.
Should have been a red card.
I don't even think that could have been. I think there is no way that is not a red card.
Yeah, even if the guy went down easy or whatever you want to say.
If you're going to call it as a foul by the letter of the law,
and
he's the
card,
last defender.
It has
it's
to
a
be
a
Brandon Burke was incensed by the call.
Yeah, I don't know if the announcers talked about anything else for the remainder of the 70 minutes or whatever was left in the
definitely
game.
Definitely not for the rest of the first half.
We can even talk about, you know, the decision to play where they did was altered the game just based on Gary Smith's comments looking at the lineup.
Yeah.
This was a Thursday decision where they moved the game because of some other availability. The field was smaller than what Gary Smith was told as far as dimensions, and he mentioned the fact that he was looking to play wingers, so more than likely we probably see Belmar and Wynn out there, and you know then he had to make that adjustment on the fly, so it was good. That makes someone, I think, even better, having to adjust your game plan, you know, have you maybe practice a week or so looking out.
Yeah, no, and look, I think Gary's quotes really, really summed up how he felt about all of that, and to go into a game like this, like Andy said, after you've been seething for a week and a half after the result you just had last against Charleston, I mean, I think you saw that spark and you saw that grit mm-hmm. in that side. Brad gets away with one there. We can all agree on that.
But to be fair, they scored right away.
And I would argue that almost every team, if you had the opportunity, say, would you rather go a goal up or go a man up? They would say, I'd rather go a goal up. And so
it was a good free kick, too.
Yeah, it was a really well-taken free kick. I think Sparrow did pretty well on it. I just don't think he could see it all. I think he guessed right. I just don't think he got it. I think it was really, really
good. No, it's just he put it perfectly.
And you expect the guy to try to go up and over the wall.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so
there was a lot of traffic there as well.
The rest of the game, Sparrow showed he was up for it, made really, really positive saves. So I'm going to give him 100% of the benefit of the doubt there and say he just got beat, and that's the way that it goes sometimes. So they go up 1-0 off of a free kick from the captain, Chambers, I believe was his last
name. Yeah, James Chambers. Mm-hmm.
Really well taken, and he had to be their best player on the field last night.
Well, he's considerably older, so
he's 10 years older.
Yeah, he's 32, so he's a veteran of that Steel team. The rest of the team is under the age of 22. He not only had that great free kick, but I thought he did a number on Daniel Rios
and made sure that
he marked Rios out of the game.
Rios didn't take a shot.
Yeah, and the only time Rios was really getting on the ball is when he's having to drop deep because of what Chambers was doing.
Yeah, and he was a pest all night. I mean, you could see guys getting agitated with him. Rios, they said, kicked at him. We never saw that replay or whatever, but
I didn't actually see much of the game.
Really good shift.
I think it was interesting. I feel like Bethlehem was so focused on shutting down Rios that they kind of just forgot about Mensah.
Well, the young right back there, Rapapa, he ate him alive.
Yeah.
Man. I mean, he was turning that guy in and out all night long.
But that's a good sign, though, that if Rapapa's called into there and Rios isn't doing much, and then Rapapa has the ball a lot and just terrorizing down the field or whatnot.
I mean, it's all season, basically, if you shut down Rios, you've been able to effectively shut down Nashville's attack. He's scored like, what, a third of their goals this season? And it's just encouraging to see other players step up. I think we had talked about this even before the bye, like after the Charleston game. Other players needed to step up and finish when Rios isn't, and we saw that. And I think it was a really good response from Nashville scoring, what was it, 2 minutes after Bethlehem took the lead.
A great corner, and Tribbett was wide open, but I mean, he got open as well too.
It's a really good ball in from Lebo. Really good. Tribbett, I mean, like the
textbook header.
He's shown over and over again when he gets good service, he's gonna put it on frame and in a dangerous area. And I mean, I think that we've just got to see that level of service. You know what I mean? Right. So really good ball from Lebo. So that equalizes it pretty early on, 27th minute. Rest of the first half got pretty testy out there. I think there were two yellows handed out the remainder of that period.
Could have been another red as well, too, with that guy stepping on Kamara's ankle.
That was straight red for me.
And then there was that
ball studs up. It was bad. Yeah.
That LaGrossa tackle as well in the 41st minute was pretty rough, too. I mean, I don't know if I would have given that more than a yellow, but I mean, it was from...
I feel like that one looked worse than... It wasn't forceful. It was definitely from behind. He 100% stopped the counterattack there. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah, professional foul. Right. But it was a little... It had a little bit more to it than most of those do. That takes us to the half. Tied up 1-1. And man, it just had where the home... You know, look, I think if you're being totally objective, you have to be able to look at it and say, the team has never gotten a win after going down a goal. So at halftime, I don't know that any of us felt super confident in the rest of the game. I don't think any of us saw three goals coming in the second half. So to come out, get the start that we did, we said it. Rapapa had been the best player on the field up to that point. Questions from the box on whether that goal was offsides or not, but there was, again...
He was... whenever Lebo played that ball, I guess he timed it well perfectly, but still, he seemed like he's a couple of yards away off.
The camera angles didn't provide much, but there was 0-0-0 chance of being able to tell what was happening.
So it could have been off, he could have timed it well, but we have, there's literally no idea.
That's the way it goes.
The important thing is he finished it, though.
Yep. In Bethlehem. Pretty much stopped running and just started calling for the offside. So he had as much time as he wanted to finish that one.
And that could be an instance of, you know, they are a young team, you know, not having that, you know, that veteran knowledge to, like, play to the whistle. Because you see this all the time in, you know, all facets of soccer. You see the, like, you see a center back calling for an offside, and they expend more energy trying to call for an offside when they should just defend, play to the whistle. And it could just be some, you know, case of youth there, but there wasn't much we could see.
Yeah, so we come out after that. Rapapa almost immediately puts another one in, taking on the volley. That was just a really, really well-struck ball. Great save, in my opinion, there. I mean, he just had to make a reaction save. Really, really good save. Rapapa comes in, botches one inside the box. I thought when he didn't score that, I was like, what in the world? Falls to Kosuke, and he gets his first goal since 2017.
Yeah.
A U.S. Open Cup match in 2017. So, really good to see for him, a guy that works so hard, puts in so much effort. A lot of thankless work he does up and down the sides. Good
right
to see him
place,
get a goal.
Right time.
Yep, good to see him get a goal, absolutely.
And I think he provided a bit more, because I feel like we've talked about a lot throughout the past season and a half or almost. We've talked about him not contributing enough on offense, but it was good to see him get in there, get a goal. I thought he played some good balls in throughout the game, especially early on in the first half, but I felt he was much more an offensive threat this game, aside from the goal that he scored.
No, I agree completely. You know, it was a great performance. We see the Rio sub immediately after that, and then Lancaster comes on and is able to make a difference, gets a goal. I think everybody has to be able to take some pride in seeing him just grab one more goal.
And even apart from the goal, I mean, the goal was probably the easiest finish he's ever had. I mean, it was from a yard out. But, I mean, even apart from that, every time he got the ball within 30 yards, he was putting shots on target.
Yeah, he had that one shot from a little further out that, I mean – He was at that point trying to get off. He's got to get off the mark. He's got two early on in the season.
And you're up two goals.
And you're up 2-0. You know, why not?
And I think it's a little bit unfortunate for Rios that he came off right then, because I think that was when the game was starting to open up and Bethlehem was leaving more space behind and pushing up to try to get a goal. So I think that probably helped Lancaster that he didn't get the same man marking treatment that Rios did. But I mean, credit to him for finishing.
And then right after that goal, him and Rapapa kind of lost each other in space there. I think they should could have got another one out of that next opportunity up the field. So look, all around, you're never going to shake your head at a 4-1 win. You're absolutely never going to shake it on the road, and we're never going to shake our head at it when we go down 0-1 to start the match.
That was their highest XG total of the season, which I think is impressive when you think of like
we had the 5-1
5-1 result against Swope. So they not only finished well, but they created a lot.
Yeah. Look, I think there's some positive things to say. We're going to go big picture after the break. We're also going to look at Hartford. But before we take a quick break and play some ads, I just want to say I think it's important to note that we're having performances this year that we can say, hey, this might have been the best NSC performance ever.
And then they go and top the next one.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Are we still having some frustrating ones? Sure. Pittsburgh still happened.
Charlotte.
St. Louis still happened. Yes, those things still happen, and we would be even better on the table than we are right now. But we're still having conversations about, hey, this might have been the best win this club has ever had.
And even some of those ugly performances, too, they're coming out to be just points. And, you know, coming away with just a point is better than coming away with no points, in my opinion.
Agreed completely.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk big picture so far on NSC season, where we're at coming out of the break, and the upcoming match against Hartford.
This episode of Speedway Soccer Pod is brought to you by Taylor Street Coffee and Tea. Taylor Street Coffee and Tea is a new family-owned coffee shop tucked away in Germantown, serving coffee from Crema Coffee Roasters and tea from Firepot Nomadic Teas. Check them out at 100 Taylor Street, Monday through Friday, between 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. They're located inside an art collective building, so check out their Instagram page to find them, at Taylor Street Coffee. Drop by, drink up.
Hey everybody, welcome back into Speedway Soccer. So in the first segment, we broke down the match, and today we're going to talk... The second segment, we're going to talk a little more big picture, where the club's at right now. I think what we can expect to see, what we hope to see. I think probably let's just lead off with, if you follow Derek Jones on social media, I think it's quite apparent that he's fairly injured and will be for quite some time. So we don't know that. There hasn't been an official confirmation of that.
Just a guesstimate.
Yeah, I mean, he posted on that he just got stitched up and he's in a cast, he's in a wheelchair, so... Safe to assume he's going to be out for a little bit. I'll go ahead and say, if it's anything as serious as it looks, I hope he's just shut down for the season.
That's what I said.
And we let
I agree.
Him rest. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I would, as much as I would like to see him, you know, spend some more time gelling with some of the players that may be around, I would 100% rather him, you know, be healthy. We don't really know the extent of the injury. If it's some kind of ligament, definitely just shut it down.
Yeah.
Especially.
And again, we're not trying to speculate on what it is or anything like that. We just know that he posted he had a surgery. Yeah. So.
And the other thing I would say is, knowing some of the surfaces we're gonna have to play in USL, I would like for him to not risk re-aggravating it.
Yeah, he's brought up for MLS. Let him play in MLS. So if it's as serious as we speculated it's going to be, just shut it down. I know we're echoing that a lot, but...
It's unfortunate for him, too, because he hadn't played much, but he looked... He was a significant improvement in Nashville's midfield.
I mean, we're as high
he's
as
just a commanding presence out there.
Who in this city is higher on Boloek and Yoda than us four, right? And all of us are saying, look, if they're both playing six, this guy has to start. Like, it just is what it is. So, okay, so we're going through big picture on who we are as a club, where we're heading with the rest of the season. We're currently sitting at third in the table. Now, that is with two games in hand on Indy, who sits right behind us, only a point behind us. But we've got a draw against them, so positive result.
Fifth in points per game.
Yep, fifth in points per game. So I think we all agree we would like to see us get one of those top four slots. Look, I think this team has the potential to finish top of the East, and I don't think we should be shying away from that. But I think the floor for this club is home, top half of the playoffs. One of the first
absolutely.
So we said that at the beginning of the year too, and they're starting to show their potential a little bit.
Right.
It's just now the July and the August it starts to get a little bit hot. We're going to start and see how this team can really mold based on like a run of form and whatnot. So I don't even think they've hit their best run of form yet either.
They're unbeaten in five league games.
Yeah.
I don't even think they're like even into anything close to fifth gear at this point. So.
No, they're. I think they're a long way off from fifth gear, and you know, I think there's always that chance that you know we can in this run of form. I think there's also that chance we could go get somebody in the summer. We won't know if an opportunity presents itself. There's definitely that chance. So we could even you know strengthen and you know continue on and continue to rise at the table.
Yeah, so that's actually where I wanted to head next. I'm glad you said that. So we've seen a few signings. We saw Jones, who is obviously with the club now, injured.
David Akam. With the Columbus Crew for the rest of the season.
He's at the Crew for the rest of the season, but is on a contract with us as of January 1st.
Start of the league season.
So the other thing that was in the rumor mill last week, we don't really know if there's any veracity to it or truth to it. Argentine central midfielder Nico Olzak. We're gonna get tagged in more and more and more.
He went to Belmont University, so like the fact because there was talk that he was in Nashville, but like he went to undergrad here, so like that's
I didn't see it from any credible sources. It just feels
agreed.
Like a coincidence that he went to school in Nashville. He's said that he's interested in coming to MLS, and he was in Nashville.
Yeah, even the tweet that like got traction was so non-committal. It said could sign with Nashville SC or an MLS team. It was just really funny. So
I think we're going to see a lot of stuff like that.
But
in the next couple
I think everybody would be thrilled if we signed a center attacking mid this summer, right? So I think that's got to be like number one top of the list as far as.
I mean, at this kind of along those lines though, I wouldn't be shocked if we see more moves like David Akam, where they sign a guy for next year and keep him. MLS, you don't want a guy to be an MLS, drop down a league for 6 months or for whatever, and then have to readjust to MLS. You want them playing at the highest level possible.
And
for
then
as
get
long.
Blamed for everything when they bump up like a certain person.
Like I was on record when we signed Akam that I would much rather have him playing because we saw what happened with Fernando Adi last year.
Oh, that's him. Okay.
Yeah, that guy.
I've heard of him.
Directly responsible for letting in 5 goals from the forward position. what's up, Cincinnati Soccer Talk? but I would much rather those guys be playing in MLS, playing in the league that we're going to be playing in next year rather than – because like, if we're being honest, the amount of players that are on this team – that are going to make is not going to be a ton, and there's not going to be a whole lot of chemistry, like
question marks.
Oh, and there's not going to be a chance to build a lot of chemistry with maybe 2 or 3 guys. You're not going to build that.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. So as far as things that we want to see, I think that is what we're all going to be maybe most interested in as far as staying away from what the actual results of the games are. We want to see what the signings are going to be, and I think...
I think the one target that they're probably going to think about, and maybe I'm completely off the wall on this, is a high-level center back, because they've already focused a lot of their MLS signings on attack right now, so I think maybe they'll start to shift towards like defense.
Let me ask a question. Do you think Ken Tribbett is an MLS center back? I think he's putting his name in the conversation.
He's definitely putting his name in the conversation.
If I had to pick right now, he would be one of the players.
I'm not saying
he's
going to
be
completely
in your starting lineup on day one, but I think he's a guy.
I think he's a guy who makes the jump.
Yeah, he's
a decent depth signing. Like you could do. He has some MLS experience. I will say there's the cautionary tale of London Woodbury, who I think was brought in for the exact same reason. But we've seen results on the field from Tribbett.
Yep. So that, to Andy's point, I think that's just something to monitor. I think he's acquitted himself well. But
I do think that they will try to go after like a big name center back.
I don't even think big name, but I think it's just like we've seen over and over how I don't think there's a good team in MLS that doesn't have an above average center back. So
right.
I think that's a pretty key part to building a successful MLS roster.
Mm-hmm.
As far as on on-field results go, we won't get into specifics on the games. We're going to talk about Hartford in a minute. I think we have a nice friendly stretch of competition here that we should be able to see some positive results from. What are you guys looking to see formationally in from players who are currently on the roster right now?
I want to see some more for Papa, honestly. I don't know if you were going to bring that up, but Ben mentioned that he has scored or assisted every 107 minutes, largely all coming off the bench. I think that he's in a really good run of form. He was involved in every goal the other day. So I think pairing him with Rios would be something I'd definitely want to see moving forward.
Yeah, I definitely want to see Lancaster get a good run of games, stay healthy, and start to find his find the back of the net more often. I would like to see a Lancaster Rios front two. I feel like we were getting ready to start seeing that, and then Lancaster got injured, and because we were starting to see more of the 4-4-2. While we do have Hartford and Hartford Ottawa up in the next two games. I mean, looking at, following it up with Red Bulls, NCFC, and Louisville, I mean, that's going to give us a good idea. I think
Hartford's the only team not in playoff position currently.
I think the next five games, we're going to come out of these next five games having a really good idea of where this team is going to look from a results standpoint at the end of the season. But I'm looking forward to seeing some more Lancaster.
Formationally speaking, we had Gary say after the game, I think the exact quote was, we saw a goals breakthrough from the 3-5-2 formation. You guys expect to keep seeing the same flip-flop that we've seen so far?
So they pretty much rotated between the 4-4-2, 4-2-3-1, and a 3-5-2. And I don't think they're going to pick one and roll with it. I think it's going to change on a game-to-game basis.
Which I'm okay with, because it keeps opponents off balance.
And because, I mean, you have a lot of you have three above-average center backs, so the 3-5-2 helps with that. You have really good wingers who you don't have a spot for in the 3-5-2, so either one of the other two options gets them on the field, and then it gives you the potential to get Lancaster and Rios and Mensa, a combination, one of the two out of those three on the field.
Plus, you've got good depth in the midfield as well, too, and all of those guys can really, swap in and out.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to just pick one system and stick with it.
And I would say, though, while we did see a goals breakthrough in that 3-5-2, I think a lot of that was necessitated by the field conditions and the size of the field. So while it was great, I think that's going to depend on a lot of what surfaces we're playing on, how big those fields are to get those guys like Wynn and Belmar out there and being able to get wide.
And we've seen like goals breakthrough like in other formations. They were in a 4-4-2 when they won 3-0 in Ottawa, and they were in a 4-2-3-1 when they won 5-1 over Swope Park. So I mean, that's plenty of goals from each formation. I think for me, one of the main things that I want to see, we've seen Gary Smith talk a lot about taking advantage of the periods in the game when they're on top. And especially they lost at home to Tampa and St. Louis when they had chances in the first couple minutes. And I think just for me, I want to see them take advantage of those chances against top teams and get out to an early lead and get results against playoff teams.
Yeah, I will say one last thing I do want to see is I'm interested to see with the injury to Derek Jones what the midfield rotation looks like. So we're down to Levo's playing really as the 10, but between LaGrassa, Reed and Akinyode, are we going to see some more Vinny Vermeer? Yeah. I'm hoping to see some more Vinny Vermeer. I think we're going to have to, because we obviously saw center midfield by bringing in Derek Jones as an opportunity to strengthen this team. And so I think there's going to have to be some things. It'll just be interesting to see what we do.
Mm-hmm. Agreed completely. That one's going to be a positional, not battle to watch, but rotation to watch. I think that's
still got a lot of games to play too. I mean,
tons of games to play. It's super. I mean, we're still way young in the season, so I think there's a lot there to look out at. As far as the upcoming match against Hartford goes, listen, they got their first ever win at home against a really good side, so you can't take anything away from them there. But at the end of the day, they still only have registered 2 wins on the season. We have to be expecting 3 points in that match, right?
I mean, they've given up 29 goals on the season. And Nashville scored 24. So, I mean, I think you have to expect Nashville, if nothing else, to just go up there and outscore them. I think they're much better than we thought at first. I mean,
they've rounded into form
at the start of the season.
I think they had a long road stretch
while their stadium was getting finished up. But at the start of the season, they were on track to be like a worst ever USL team. And I don't think they're going to be that. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
They're already
like that,
not going to be Antigua bad.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't think they're not good. They're not as awful as we thought. Nashville is in third place and hoping to compete for a USL Cup. If you can't beat a team like Hartford on the road,
it's hard to keep your name in that.
Right.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. So look, I'm going to just kind of bring up something table-wise. We're currently 4 points off first. If you look at the Pittsburgh result, the Charlotte result, and the St. Louis result from early in the season, those ones are, I mean, it's, we're right there in contention for first on the table. And so I know you can't play that game, but the Pittsburgh result should have stood, should have been a win. Mm-hmm. And there's two draws that we've given up that were late set pieces that we all agree should have at least been solid draws.
I mean, I think it might, St. Louis, especially when they played Nashville, I mean, they were by far the best team in USL at that point.
Yep.
So, I mean, that was a frustrating game. I wouldn't say it was an awful result, but I would definitely agree. I mean, the Charlotte result is looking...
No, I'm not saying it's an awful result either, yeah.
Charlotte's drawing Charlotte, who are currently, what, in 17th place? And that's looking worse and worse by the minute.
Agreed. So that's, I think, where we have to pay attention and kind of see stuff like that. Yes, we're seeing really positive things happening, and we've got opportunities for points. But giving up that late goal really, really matters. And so I want to see this team, you know, I think getting that comeback win is huge. We said that at the start of the episode. Whether that's a statistical anomaly or whatever, you know, people like to make stuff out of stats. You know me, I say that all the time, right? Like, I just want to see results on the field. That being said, it's the team fighting back in a capacity that it hadn't done so far. And I hope to see that more this season.
And I think I just want to see more of what we saw against Bethlehem. I mean, I think in the past we would have seen Nashville go up 2-1 and just try to not concede and leave with a 2-1 win. And I think we just need to see this team like step on the other team's throat and really take the result when they're up and not just be content with a one goal win, but really press that advantage and score extra.
I agree completely. Guys, any final thoughts before we wrap this thing up?
Real quick, Women's World Cup starts tomorrow.
Yep.
USA starts tomorrow. Yeah. Women's World Cup started on Friday. I'm going to shamelessly plug the AO watch parties at tailgate for every game. U.S. plays tomorrow at 2. A little bit of a National SC twist. A National SC will be there tomorrow. And Daniel Rios and Matt LaGrosse are going to be there hanging out and watching the game as well. So,
love it.
If you want to...
Gold Cup
starts on the 16th.
Okay. I thought it was sooner.
Plenty of U.S. soccer to watch this summer. The women's game is probably going to be prettier than the men's game.
They're playing Thailand, who we've only played once, and we've beat them 9-0.
I'm more excited about the women's team than I am about the men's team.
For good reason.
I think just about everybody in the country is.
Okay, listen, always fun to be here together, guys. Make it out to Tailgate tomorrow night if you can.
Tomorrow at 2.
Tomorrow at 2. What time does the game actually kick off?
Game kicks off. 2
p.m. 2 p.m. Okay, cool.
Take a long lunch break.
Yeah, take a long lunch break or leave work early. Get there early, you know, make it happen because that'll be a good time. It's always they're a great host for those national team matches. That's going to be a lot of fun. SpeedwaySoccer.com. I know Sloop's got a piece out this week. You'll see a preview for the Hartford match. We'll have more content out there this week. Also, want to make sure you guys go and check out 104.5 The Zone's podcast network. A lot of other great stuff happening there. Yes, you can check segments from all of their shows, but you can also get originals, preds, Pop 6. There's different things going on there that I think are worth listening to. Go check that out as well. We're on the 104.5 The Zone podcast network, also on BGN. Huge shout out to Golden Gold Press and Roughneck Scarves for making this happen. And always, as always, Alley Taps was just a great host for us. Check them out on weeknights. Great happy hour, live entertainment, always a good time. Get here if you can. We'll be back next week with a new episode. This is Speedway Soccer.